book of James out of the Bible because he felt it put too much emphasis upon works. We don't work to get saved, but he said if you got faith, it should be working. You know, have something that's not working. You think about the athletes, pro athletes, college athletes. By the way, I see where they're going to try to pay the college athletes now. But they're working out. They want to make sure that they have all the muscles moving, working, everything going. And think about us. Well, once in a while, and maybe it doesn't work. But we want to make sure our faith is working. Tomorrow, I'm putting a lot of faith in the doctors. I know there's science that approves of it, but I want what God approves of. So they're going to go down and open up again more. And then Tuesday, they're going to show me how and demonstrate on me, I guess, and see if I can do it myself with a handheld apparatus of some kind. And people are asking me questions. I don't know the answers. If I come back, if I don't die during that, I'll let you know how it turned out. Okay? So pray about that. So we think about the increase of our faith if we have, and they needed faith. If you notice in verse 1 of James chapter 1, he said, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. Why are they scattered abroad? Well, these are the 12 tribes that have turned, the ones of them, some of them, have turned to salvation. And, of course, the others are persecuting them. So they're scattered all over the country in that day. And so he's writing this letter of encouragement to them. Be encouraged. We're living in terrible times. We would like to hear some good words. Every day is bad news. Think about the people down in Cuba. I was sharing with the Sunday school class this morning. I can remember in 1961, I believe it was, when we were going to go in and help them. John F. Kennedy had a plan. And we had volunteers. There were some of them were my friends. And we, the full-time army, were sitting in the Eglin Air Force Base waiting to load up and go over there. And the Pope put in an emergency call to John F. Kennedy, who was the first Catholic president, and had a talk with him, and he called off the artillery support that they had, and those guys went in small boats and was a bloodbath. And they've been communists ever since. And now we're doing a lot of talking, but we're not doing much. Somebody don't do something. America has always been the salvation of other nations and people with problems. But they're scattered. Just think of the joy that it brings to your heart that God wants to use you to spend this time with you. If he's a good coach, he'll take his best player and tell the guys and tell him, you're my whipping boy. If they see, the rest of the guys see, that I don't let up on you, that I push you hard, they know they don't have no room to holler. Sometimes the stars think, well, I'll just get by. And sometimes they do, but that's not the way it's supposed to be done. But think of the joy that it brings to our heart. We stop and think, God wants to use me. God really wants to use me. So I want to submit to his way. What can I do? Every once in a while, somebody will say, what can we do, Pastor? Well, we finally get them an assignment, then we don't see them anymore. They think, wow, how'd that happen? The joy. He said in James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. One of the reasons that God tries our faith and tries to see if we have faith is to bring about patience in us. I can't testify of a lot of things, but I can sure testify of that. When is this going to happen? Doc, when are we going to get this done? When are we going to get that done? When will I be able to swallow this? Oh, maybe a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You have to have patience. You have to have patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. God says you got to have faith. We're a people of faith. We have, none of us in here, I don't think, have ever seen Jesus, but by faith we accept him as our personal Savior. Amen? He's my personal Savior. I know he saved me. Well, how do you know that? By faith. By faith we trusted him. We trusted his grace and his mercy. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and patience brings perfect work. And then Romans 4:4, and patience experience. After you get through the trying of your faith, and you go through the experience of exercising your faith, then you get the patience, you get experience, you get hope. Hope. Hope is not something that we walk around and say, I hope it will happen. We want to hope in what we know will happen. We know that Jesus is coming back again. We know that Jesus will save us. I'm going to say something that may offend some of you, but please try to consider what I'm saying. People will say to me every once in a while, good luck. There's no such thing as good luck. If you have something good happen to you, it's God's favor or something. I don't trust in luck. I trust in Christ. Because luck will fail you. Luck is something that may or may not happen. I see these people, got them in every service station around, I guess. They got a machine there. I don't even know how they do it. The guy's pulling out his wallet. He's got a chunk of money. 50s, 100s, 20s. I want so much on that or those tickets and so much of that tickets. And he's hoping, and the guy said, good luck. Next Monday, he didn't win. Spent all that money. Some of these guys have already spent $1 million, and if they won $1 million, what did they win? They didn't win anything. Kind of stupid when you stop and think about it, isn't it? That's my assessment of it. But that's not the hope the Bible's talking about. Jesus Christ is our hope. And if we have hope in him, then we can have faith. And he says in verse 5 of Romans 4, he says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto you. If we got our hand in the hand of Jesus, and he says he puts us in his hand, and he says, I put that hand in the hand of God over in John's Gospel. And then he says, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, for anything to get to you, it's got to go through the hand of God, the hand of Christ, and the hand of the Holy Spirit. Now, if something bad has happened to you, God has either, and I've said this so many times, you probably get tired of hearing, God has either willed it or God's allowing it for your good, to try your faith, to try your hope. You don't have your hope in the right things. God says, okay, you're trying that. You tried the lottery, how's that working out? I'm going to put some in the lottery because my wife's sick, and I'm thinking if I do some good, maybe that'll bring about the healing of my wife. People have a lot of concocted ideas. We don't know for sure. God doesn't heal everybody. There's a hospital full of people everywhere you go. God doesn't heal everyone. God didn't promise he would. We said whatever his will is. We pray for that, and we pray for people to be healed. We want them to be healed, but God in his time worketh our faith, our experience, our hope, right? We have to wait on the Lord. We don't do it at our timetable. And you know, sometimes we get this kind of answer back. I do. How long, God says, you want me to do what? You want me to do it when? How long have I waited for you to do something for me? And then if they don't get it, they don't come. I had a guy in another church one time. he was coming, and he quit coming. I went to visit him. He said, well, I went to that church, and I gave my tithe, and I gave God, listen to this, I gave God 6 months to do something for me, and he didn't do it, so I quit. Wow. Telling God, I give you 6 months, God, to do this. Don't you think God laughed? You say, oh, yeah. Over in Proverbs, God says, when your dilemma comes, I will laugh. I will laugh at your dilemma. Because we're like children. We're so foolish. He says, let no man, when he's tempted, think that God tempts him. I am tempted of God. God doesn't tempt a man. You say, well, the Bible says God led the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, out to be tempted. He didn't tempt him. He took it where it was temptation. You go where there's temptation. I go where there's temptation. It's what I do with that temptation. And he tells us that. The 12 tribes of Israel. If you lack wisdom in knowing how to handle these, God says that you ask of God. James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, means plenty of it, upbraiding not. God's not going to get upset when you say, well, God, I can't figure this out. I don't really know how to handle this. I need you to help me. I need you to, God wants you to ask him. And God's sitting waiting for you to ask him. God doesn't crash into our lives and our heart and say, I'm going to make you do so and so. God sets and waits. We ask for his help. He says also in Proverbs 8:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That means to fear what God's going to do if I don't do what I'm supposed to do. There should be an awful, awesome fear if I know I'm supposed to be in church and I don't go. I know I'm supposed to tithe and I don't tithe. I know I'm supposed to do this, and I know I'm for, but I don't do it. And I may give God 1,000 excuses. Well, all the people that go to that church are hypocrites. God said the church is full of hypocrites. We got plenty of seats. We got room for more, right? We always got room for one more. Just come on. He said, but let not, verse 7 in James chapter 1, for let not man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord if he's wavering in verse 6 up there. But he said, we're not to ask in doubting, nothing wavering, that he that wavereth is like a wave, and the sea driveth the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He talks about variableness. I always wondered what that word meant. I used to do a little flying in a prop airplane, and if it's a certain size, you have a switch on the dash that you put it on full bite. You're making that propeller bite as much air as it can because you want to get off the ground. But once you get up where the air is thinner, then you rock it back to where it's turning straight. You're not using as much fuel. You're going faster because the air is thinner. And so variableness means changing the speed of the propeller. So if we're variable, oh, I think I'll pray today. Well, don't know what to pray about. I think I'll do this. I think I'll do that. He said, that man's unstable in all his ways. We have a lot of people like that, right? Variableness, no variableness in God. We are all made equal in salvation, he tells us in verse 9 and 10. He said, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted. The lowest person, however he might be in character or thought or money or whatever he has, possessions, when he's saved, he's at the same level as the rich man. Verse 10, but the rich in that he's made low because of the flower of the grass he shall pass away. So we're all equal in God. We got saved. The ground is level at the cross. Nobody's bigger. Nobody's more important than God. We may have variable gifts, variable talents, variable things we can do, but our salvation makes us all children of God. Amen? So let us realize that we belong to him in that way. All right? Then we see if we endure temptation, we talked about that earlier, that you may grow in patience and hope. Sometimes we get tempted and after a while we just throw in the towel. We just give up. Not putting up with it anymore. Can't take this stuff anymore. Can't get along with this anymore. I'm ending it all. Do you ever think about people who commit suicide? They have no hope left. They can't endure the temptation anymore. They can't endure the stuff that they're going through. So they give up. That's what happens. So, patience. Blessed is the man, verse 12, James says, that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to them that love him. Think about that when we come before God. There's about five crowns, you can find them in the Bible, that we get. To talk about casting our crowns at his feet. Well, that one, we'll put it, he'll put it on us, and we'll put it back at his feet and say, Lord, you deserve this. You did it all. Without you, I can do nothing. By God, I can do all things. We mentioned temptation earlier, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. This world is a tempting world. Everywhere you turn, there's some kind of temptation. Every street you walk on, everything you walk by, you hear this and you see that. Our eyes are the eye gate, our ears the ear gate. They bring it in and digest it in the mind. Then we settle it down in our hearts and we decide to follow the temptation and go the route of it. And that's when we're in a mess. The devil said to Eve, now that, what God told you is not true. Just try it. And she did. And another thing about temptation and sinning, we're not content to do it ourselves. We want to get somebody else. Told her husband, come on. You need to check this out. This stuff is good. Every man is tempted in some way. Your temptation to things might not be the same as mine. Might not be things to you. I might not be tempted by a thing. I'm tempted to look at old cars and old trucks and stuff like that. They excite me to see them. Some people, what are you seeing that? Somebody else might, I like to see old guns and how they work and when they were used and who used them. On and on the temptation goes. But that verse 15 says it. Then when the lust hath conceived, that means we start lusting after it in our heart. I got it through my eye. I heard about it. My mind sent it down to my heart. Now it's lusting. And Adam said, okay, I'll have some of that. And she gave him some. And it was sin. And he says in verse 15, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, it's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to follow that lust after you are tempted. When that lust pulls you deeper and deeper and deeper, deeper into it. And then brings the discouragement. Oh, well, I failed. What's the difference? Might as well go on. One sin's no worse than two sins. We just keep going deeper and falling farther and farther away from God. What's the story of all this? Victory comes. We don't know where or how long. We don't know how long it takes God didn't give us a timetable. Some people are taken out of this life early. Some of us are still around. Some of us keep going. Why is all that? Only God knows that. And God, as long as you're here, God is planning and working in your life through the various ways to bring you to a place, to something He wants you to do. And when you get there, you'll know it. And everything else is just preparation. Preparation. Do you think the guys getting ready for the fall season of football, they're practicing right now? They do some individual practicing, some individual preparation. And all of that is not near the playing the game, is not near as much time as the practicing. God's using you. God's getting you ready through all those individual things to build your hope in Him, to build your love for Him, to build your trials and temptations, to build your faith muscles till they pulsate with love for God. And the Holy Spirit begins to rest in your heart and life in a special way and feel that pull of God and say, this is the direction to go. This is what I want from you. This is what I'm going to get from you. Instead, we see a side road that looks better. We take off that direction. We see one over here. That variableness. Change the direction. Change the pitch of things. Giving up on God. I tried it. It didn't work, Pastor. Lifetime. That last breath you believe, it'll be when it's over. When God has called you home, and hopefully He says, well done, good and faithful servant, that's when it will be time for you to say, it's over. Well, I'm here, casting our crowns at His feet, and saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. Every good gift, He says in verse 17, and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't change, and God's not changing that plan He had for you. God still has that path. You may get off the path, but God didn't get off the path, and God didn't get off of that one for you. God will send the angels of heaven to support you in everything that He wants you to do and walk in that path. God will give all the support. God will give everything you need. There's not anything, I read it in the Bible just yesterday, there's nothing I need that I will lack for what God won't give it. God will supply all my needs. God will give it to me. God does it with joy. God doesn't say, oh, I need to do this or that. I had the biggest foot in our family. And whenever it come time to buy new shoes when I was growing up, I had to have a new pair every year. The other kids could pass them down. My dad said, John, you'd been a big man, so much you hadn't been turned down for feet. But God doesn't chide us like that. God says, I love you, child. I'll give you what you need. And sometimes we pack too heavy. When we think about going on missions, when I was thinking about sitting in that hangar in Florida and watching what was going on in Cuba on giant screens, and I was thinking about that. We'd cut our toothbrush handles off. We'd take everything that had any weight we could take off of us. So we would run the weight race without a weight holding us back. We'd anything that we didn't need at all, or we could do without. God, you don't need this. You don't need that. You don't need all that. You don't need all this stuff. It's holding you back. And believe me, when you get older, you find that out. Bunch of junk laying around. What am I going to do with it now? Whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God changes not. You change. I change, but God never changes. Our friends may forsake us. They may leave us. They may go the other way. Our family. Matter of fact, God said our own family sometime, out of our own household will be our worst enemies. You know, why are you doing all that? Why are you spending all the time in church? Why do you give that money to the church? They don't need that. On and on and on. But God does not change. Every good gift. You want the gift of experience to build your faith, hope, and patience. Build with God. It's going to come in your lifetime, and don't miss it, because sometimes God has to take people out early. He says in John, 1 John, he says there's a sin unto death. I don't say we should pray for it, but some people, just like cars, they got to be called, recalled because they got a defect and can't get it fixed. There's a shepherd, a man who was a shepherd by trade, who herded sheep. He said, one of the best sheep I had produced more wheat or more fur, more wool. She produced more lambs, produced more milk, but she was a rogue. She would run off. I did everything I could do to keep that sheep. He said, I would break her. He broke her leg and carried her around so she would learn to stay with him. She got better. She went off again. He said, I had to finally kill her because she wouldn't stay. God does that to some people. Many people, and I've seen some of my own family, taken out early. I heard them make promises to God. I will do this and I will do that on this day. And they didn't do this and they didn't do that. And they're not around anymore. Don't give up on God. God won't give up on you. He may call you home early. If he signed you to a job and you gave up on the job, listen to God. Listen to him. Don't listen to people as he calls you. Let's stand for prayer. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we pray this morning, Lord, that not one heart or one soul leaves here without Jesus Christ anchored securely. Lord, we pray that no one would leave without a full commitment. Lord, you gave me life, you gave me breath from the time I was in my mother's womb. Thank God my mother didn't abort me. Thank God he saw fit for me to have a healthy birth. I'm here today as a testimony that God still wants me. God, show me what you want me to do. Lead me, guide me, direct me. And I pray, Lord, I'll be pleasing to you. While heads are bowed and the eyes are closed, as the piano plays, if God's speaking to your heart about any issue, you don't have to tell me. Just come to the altar and tell God. That's what this altar's for. Tell God what's wrong in your life, what you don't like about it, what you wished it was. Talk to God. He'll talk to you. And if he hadn't made that plan plain to you, he'll do it if you come and to talk to him. What number is that Heather was singing? 310. 310, our hymn of invitation. Bring to him. Than snow. All sin going. Brother Roger, would you have our closing prayers? One, please.